Because your sin, your disobedience, your unbelief, the things that I command you to do or not to do, and you don't do it, it will isolate you from me. Jesus' wonderful name. I would like to invite you to turn together with me to Isaiah 59. I want to come back to a long time ago, a few weeks ago. I start with the acronym denial, and I want to continue on that, otherwise I will never complete it. We talk about spiritual growth and why many people don't grow, and we said that they live in denial, many of them. And then we took the word denial, each word, as an acronym, and we built our messages on each of those letters. Tonight I will continue on the fourth letter. But let us just pray together. If you've got Isaiah 59, Heavenly Father, as we stand and sit before your word, the Bible says the opening of your word gives light. Thank you, Lord, that we can ask you to send your light. Send forth your light, Lord. Let the Spirit of God lead us into your very presence, the Spirit of truth. Lord, as we look tonight at this one portion, I pray that you really speak to our hearts concerning denial, why so many don't grow. Each one of these letters tell us something about denial, and it constitutes together denial. So speak to our hearts. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the lessons that we can learn from it. Help us to apply it in our own lives. Like Romans 5:4 say, Lord, it is written to us so that we can be taught, yes, and be admonished. And that we also will be encouraged, Lord, to take heart, to take heed, not to lose heart through the scriptures, that we can have hope. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm just going to read two verses in Isaiah 59, and then I'm going to Genesis. I think there's so much that we in Genesis 3, I want to read this as well. But let us first read verse 1 and verse 2 of Isaiah 59. It say, surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. For your hands, then continue with verse 3, for your hands are stained with blood, your fingers with guilt, your lips have spoken lies, and your tongue mutters wicked things. Those few verses. I just want to recap in the first three letters, just in a nutshell, concerning denial, what we said. And I'm just going to, just 1, 2, 3, not going into depth with it. We say that the first letter, why people so many times do not grow spiritually, because the first thing is the letter D. We say it dismembers or it numbs our conscience, that we do not acknowledge that we have sinned. We say another word for dismember is disabled, that we... it numbs our minds, that we say, but I don't have a problem. We don't see it. I don't see it. Many others might see it, but it, for myself, I don't see it. And then we talk about the letter D there in denial. The letter E tell us that there is energy savers, and it's not really energy savers, energy stealers that keep me busy with a lot of other stuff, except with the ones that God wants me to deal. And I can be so busy doing things and running around the whole day that I'm not really focusing on those things that God wants me to get rid in my life. We call it them energy stealers. Then the N in denial, We say also it is a negative thing. There is roadblocks that prevent me to grow. Things that stop my growth. Call it also negates. Negate mean it is something that stopped me. And we have to identify what are those things that stop my growth in Christ. And then I want to share today on the letter I. And the letter I say insulate. Now insulate means something that separates me from. Now the best that I can describe it is, I can remember many years ago the first time when I encountered something like insulation tape. And that was when my father was working on his car or something, wires, he put wires together and he took this insulation tape and he wrapped it around those live wires. And I asked him, why do that? And he said, so that, you know, it can't burn the others or the others can't get in touch with him. I separate them. And sometimes he will put the wires together and he will solder them together and then he will put the insulation tape over to protect them, but also to separate this piece of wire from the rest of the wires, that maybe if there's a short or something that it won't burn, you know. So that is what the letter I wants to constitute to us, that it separates us from God. Something that separates me from God. It is always sin that separates us from God. And when we think of sin, you know, there is the Bible of Galatians 5, 19 to 21, a whole list of sins. And sometimes it is not those gross or gross sins. It is sometimes things like unbelief or disobedient unto God. Not those gross sin per se. And that is sometimes that little things that God wants me to do or what you don't want me to do, and I am disobedient unto that. And then it brings separation. It isolates me from God. So I trust that we have the understanding what insulation or isolation means. And I want to go to Genesis chapter 3. And I will come back later on to Isaiah 59, because it gives us also the picture of a wall that stands between us and God. I can remember with the prisoner's journey, when we have with the classes, with the guys, well, I think a year or what ago, where we came to the three W's. It's not World Wide Web, but it is, who is Jesus, what did he come for, and what has that got to do with me? And then the second W, when we talk about why did he come, we talk about man and we talk about sin and why he come. And he don't have to come, but he choose to come. He make a choice to come. And we talk about the wall of our sin. And I asked the guys, how would you like if you go to Verulam and there's that huge bridge there and there's a huge billboard fastened to that bridge with all your sin and say, this is the sins of so-and-so. How would you like that? Would you like that? When you look at that billboard and you see all your sins and your name there, how do you think will the people, you know, respond to that? How will you respond when you see it? I don't think very well. Now, how do you think does God respond when he sees it? And I can remember one guy said, now he can understand why he do what he do. Because of that sinful heart and sinfulness in his heart. And I want to go to Genesis chapter 3. Just in a nutshell, there's so much, and we, over and over, we can go back to the original from the beginning, and we can see that very same thing of the letter I in the Nile. And here in Genesis chapter 3, and let me read, I'm not going to read the whole portion, you know a lot about Genesis chapter 3, but I just want to read two verses, verse 7 and verse 8. Remember, they eat a fruit, and there's big trouble in Eden because the serpent has deceived them. Eve obeyed it, she eat it, nothing happened. She gave to her husband, he fall under peer pressure or, you know, something. Maybe not going to get another wife if he listened to her, not listen to her, but whatever. He ate from it. But verse 7 says, Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord, or like some of the translations, this one say the voice of the Lord as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord called to the man, "Where are you?" As I prepared last night, I know we read a lot and we heard a lot about it, and I think there's still a lot there. And when we come to the deliverance and bondage seminars, I was shocked the first time when I hear this and I saw, and the pictures that the pastor show here, wow. And it takes a while for me to process that, really. It is totally foreign to me. It's totally different. I never saw it like that. And it took quite a while for me to process it in my heart. And last night when I sit here and prepare for this, here is wonderful people. Marriage. I want you to go back in your imagination and see what the Bible say that God created Adam. And he created everything, and Adam gave names to every animal that is there on planet Earth that was there at that time. And then it was good. And God saw Adam, and maybe that longing to have a mate, have a companion with him, and God said, it's not good for man to be alone. And I'm going to make a suitable helper for him. God put him to sleep. As you saw that play in the beginning, it was awesome. To see, in a human way how, and here comes God and he bring Adam's bride to him, as if, through that he asked her hand. And God is the first marriage counselor in the, a marriage, what can I call it like that? He put that marriage together and they left, and he lived there. He's both of them. I think he's all three of them. He's their couch, he's their mentor, and he's their counselor. And he said, be fruitful, multiply, enjoy life. Tend the garden, work it well. And then God gives them the instruction manual. Please don't eat of this tree. And God, we are not like pawns. Adam and Eve was not pawns. God gave them a choice. He gave them a mind. He gave them a sound mind. And he gave them the instruction. That's all. Nothing less, nothing more. Well, and we know the story. They didn't obey God. She's been deceived. She fell for his lies because he promised so much and they received so less. But what struck me, what I want to share, and I know you know this, I just want to do it again. They sew themselves, not themselves, but for themselves, fig tree leaves, and they try to cover them, and they hide behind that. And maybe those leaves were very huge it cost a lot of fig leaves to go and sew together to make a dress for you that you cover your nakedness, because their eyes are suddenly open. They was always naked, but they never have the conscience of this, and now they have it, of sin. And they hide. How many times when I know my son, when he was still a small boy, and I bath him, and when I come into the bath or I can't see, he always hides. The shame is there. And I learned my children, you will never go into your sister's room, and your sister will never go in your room. There's always that shame. And I said one day to him, because there were scratches on his back, and you don't want to show me. I said, my son, I dressed you. I put your nappies on. I know everything about you. Why are you shy to show me your back where this thing was scratching him? There is still that how can I call it, that innocence in his, I don't want to show off my body to everybody. It's not for everybody's eyes to see. And it is for me good and it is honorable to see that my son, and I believe many others are also like that, are protected. And, I don't want to show off with my body. And they hide. Why? We all know. The shame, the guilt, maybe the remorse in their hearts, the fear. And I ask why? Because they are so used to that God comes like it says here, in the evening or in the cool of the day. Not in the night, but in the cool of the day, come to them as he always come, to have fellowship with them, to walk with them. Maybe they met each other in a certain place. Maybe they hear. Maybe he was always calling when he come to let them know, I am coming. Many times at home, either when my wife comes from the radio or I come whatsoever at counseling, whatsoever, I stand at the door while I'm opening it and I say, Lovey, I'm home. It's just to let her know I'm here. And or for her to let me know she's here. We are so used to that, to tell each other, hey, I am home. And I imagine that picture where God always talked to them, letting them know. He looking forward to walk with them. But today, it's different. They are not there. Mostly when they hear that sweet voice, they are running. I imagine as my children, when they were small, when I come at home from work, they run at me, to me. And you have to catch them, otherwise they run you over. And I have to catch them. I can imagine these two adults, when they hear the voice of God, running to him, you know, with gladness, and in his presence is fullness of joy, Psalm 16, verse 11 say. And now today it is as if there's no sun in Eden, hiding behind the bushes and behind the fig tree leaves. And God knows what happened. Don't think that what Adam and Eve done, find him or catch him off guard. But he's still interest in them. He takes still interest in them. You know they sinned. You know, I think of if God, the Bible say that Christ was being crucified, being slain long before the foundation of the earth, before Adam and Eve was there. Wow, he knew, he knew. You know, I go to Hosea chapter 11, verse 8 and 9, where Israel and Ephraim and Judah, they sin, they play the harlot, and they are always after foreign gods and foreign people, and God warned them over and over, please do not do that. Why? We talk about the I in denial. You're going to isolate yourself from me. Because your sin, your disobedience, your unbelief, the things that I command you to do or not to do, and you don't do it, it will isolate you from me. And here in Hosea 11, verse 8 to 9, I want you to hear God's heart for his people. Knowing they going the wrong path. He say here, how can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, Israel? How can I treat you like Atman? How can I make you like Zeboam? Sorry for my pronunciation. My heart is changed within me. All my compassion is aroused. I will not carry out my fierce anger, nor will I turn and devastate Ephraim. For I am God and not man, the Holy One among you. I will not come in wrath. And although God know these two, this couple has sinned, he asked they must give an account what happened. Although he know, he wants them to know what happened. He wants them to know the choices that they've made to isolate them. And little did they know they're going to be isolated from God. Because of that sin, that disobedience. And sometimes we don't know or don't not know. Sometimes we don't know and sometimes we don't understand. This innocent thing that I'm going to do is going to isolate me from God and separate me from him. But yet we continue doing that. Hear his heart. How can I give you up? Here they hit themselves high. Maybe you don't see, if he can see it, you know, that kind of thing, like we play, you know, hide and seek. There's God, don't let him see us. Fear, guilt, shame, remorse. What are we going to say? I don't know. We've sinned. We've done wrong. We are disobeying him. How can God give them up? Although he know they sinned. Doesn't give them a license to continue. No. Why do you hide? Maybe that voice now don't sound so sweet anymore. That calling them, don't sound so lovingly anymore. Because what all they're experiencing now is that condemnation. Is that the same God that always called us in the evening or in the cool of the day? Oh, I said it in Psalm 16:11. He said, you have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasure at your right hand. Isn't one of the wonderful things, and that is to be in the presence of God. Israel know when they won the victories over their enemies is that God's presence is there. God is in their midst. As long as He is there, they are victorious. But the moment when that presence withdraws, they lose every fight. And then they are, you know, in trouble. I nearly said in the chamors, you know. That is what happened if God is not present. Psalm 17 verse 15, listen to this verse. And I, in righteousness, I will see your face. When I awake, I will be satisfied with seeing your likeness. I see it in the sense that David said, one day when he's also going to die, he's going to see him face to face. Here is it that the blessing of God is here. When we talk about his presence, his blessing is here. And one of the awesome blessings of God is in number 6, the priestly blessing in verse 24-26. The Lord bless you and keep you. Man, I've got a video clip with that what they call that thing that they blow like that, and then that man speak this very same verse in Hebrew, and he quote this verse. You know, when I listen to that, it is as if every hair on my body just go like that. There's so much here. Don't we want the blessing of God? I think all of us wants the blessing of God, and to see that God shine his face upon us, that he is satisfied with my life. And God said to Moses, this is what Aaron must do. This is how he must bless my people. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. But it's gone now. They know it. I don't really think that anybody have to ask them. They know it. That peace is lost. That joy is gone. All that is left now is isolation. Hiding. And it's quite interesting to see the people when we walk is what last. It was in this year when we go to Uncle Earl with him. Last year, the guys do the open air and then they take the bread, loaves of bread, to house with tracts. Give it to them, share in a nutshell the gospel if there's some chance. Then the rain come. And then I found some of the guys that was here. When they saw us, they want to hide. They want to run away. Why? They know what they're doing is wrong. They want to hide. They don't want to come in the open. Well, when he saw me, he wants to turn around and run. But I already saw you. You run away from me and hide from me, but God saw you. And little maybe that he know that his sin is isolating him from God. Well, that was long before the lockdown time. And he come closer and I greet him and I hug him. Because I feel for him. He's in a bad state. If you're going to die like this, all the months of teaching and preaching from this pulpit, whosoever was here building into your life, all in vain. What happened? Isolation. Isolation. Listen to this. Hold fast to your seat. You see what make it worse? It's one thing to commit sin. You know what is worse? Yes, the presence of God has been withdrawn. That's worse. No God. But there was no mediator for them. No mediator that can stand between this couple and God. An offended God. No mediator. Sure. I couldn't even hardly sleep last night. Thinking of it.